speak to you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. You have to really appreciate this fact, Jesus' perspective. Every time he accomplishes a major task, he says, "It's vacation time. I need to get out of here. I need to get away. I need to re-energize and refuel and refocus." And sometimes he's off by himself, and sometimes he's off with the disciples, but more often than not, he takes the side door, and he takes a break. It's a wonderful model for every single one of us, particularly in this summertime, that invites us to be able to get away from it all. Jesus disappears, and when the folks figure out that he's not where they thought he should be, they go and find him. I always find it fascinating that they don't encounter him by saying, "We're so glad to see you. We need to be near you. We need to hear you. We need to experience you." Instead, they say, "Why weren't you where you were supposed to be? How come we had to go looking for you? You know how important you are?" You know, when we need you, when we want you, you should be where we thought you could have been. And instead, you're here. And we just want to start, before we ask for everything you want, by telling you that we're not so happy you weren't where you were supposed to be. We can't miss that moment in the gospel. Because Jesus responds, and he uses such a polite, it's almost an English phrase. "Very truly I tell unto you." What translation? Oh, not this building. No. I can't say those words in this building. But he's so polite, so courteous, so respectful as he says, "Listen up." Now, it can sound like an intensely critical gospel. But what I need to say to you today is that he gently and lovingly reminds the people around him that they don't understand everything. Do you remember those days when perchance there were teenagers in your house and they knew everything because you were stupid? You were not only an assortment of names, and I use one of the most polite, but they were perfect in every way and they had every answer possible. I remember the first time that our beautiful daughter brought home her very first boyfriend for dinner in my house without me asking. And my lovely spouse met me at the front door as I came home from work that day, and she took her finger. It's a very, very powerful finger. And she said, "You, be nice." I did what every spouse would do that has the right and power to make their own decision. I did exactly what I was told. And I went to the table, and there he was. Full beard, long hair, dirty shirt, hadn't washed his hands. And my wife looked at me from across the table. She never said a word, but she did this, and I could have heard thunder and lightning. And I was polite and courteous and respectful because I respect my daughter and I respect my wife. And at the end of the meal, I slid away quietly by myself. No! Mariah was supposed to be in the truck that night with him. ill in the afternoon. And the following morning at 3 o'clock, he rolled his truck 4 times, breaking an arm and a leg on the same side of his body and smashing his face into the window. He survived. We were so grateful that Mariah was not in the truck that night. Teenagers are not the only ones who think they know it. Every single one of us have moments when we're absolutely sure, and then we discover later that maybe we didn't have all the information. Jesus is talking to those who are gathering around him and says, it's impossible for you to have the information. You can't possibly have all the information because you think about earthly things and I think about interstellar space. To have a faith in God, to believe in Jesus Christ, is not to have all the answers. We'll never know it all. It is to be deliberate and intentional about finding more and more answers as we make our way through our faith journey. Jesus is not putting the people down. He's trying to lift them up and encourage them to learn more about their faith, acknowledging that they'll never understand everything about everything. It's a compassionate response to a critical group of people. And then he tries to explain as easily as he can the power of the life-giving message through the gift of bread. I don't know about you, but I get stuck in the temporal as soon as somebody says bread. You know, the freshly baked bread that comes out of the oven, and the smell of it makes its way from the kitchen, through the dining room, into the living room, down the hallway, and into my study, and the smell whispers, I'm all yours. You did the work of baking me. She won't be home for hours. And she won't be hungry. To satisfy the body, which is what we so often intend to do, is to sometimes ignore the spirit. Jesus again is gently saying to them, don't focus just on the temporary. Don't focus just on filling the belly. Because you and I know that when it comes to warm, fresh bread, we don't necessarily stop at one or two pieces. Particularly if we can melt the butter. Are you ready yet? Jam, sorry. And Jesus is saying that meeting the physical needs of people is essential, and that we as the community of faith are called to do that, but that we need to move beyond it to the spiritual bread to ensure that we are fed with God's word, whether it be through scripture or prayer or worship, music, and to be able to create such an appetite for those things that we take advantage of every opportunity to encounter Christ with something anew. Something anew. Something that stretches us. Do you enjoy experiences that stretch you? Since there's so few of you this morning, let me tell you the truth. I don't. I was just fine sitting in the corner of the living room reading another book about things everybody else do.
I was great.
I could see the fish tank, the cap was on my lap, life was good. I was just about to go to the kitchen for another piece of bread. And Brother Mark suggested that it would be a wonderful idea in this light, easygoing, heartwarming conversation. Wouldn't it be great if we did a survival camp this past week? I am here to share with you that when God invites us to stretch personally, sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's spiritual, but it's always an invitation, never a command. But I really didn't want to disappoint Brother Mark. So I went. He said, all of the clothes that you need will fit in a large Ziploc baggie.
What? Okay.
We will then get into a torture vehicle known as a canoe and put everything we need in a canoe and go out into the water without a map and from his memory find the island we were supposed to be on. About halfway out into the water, he said the most frightening words I've heard in months. He said, oops. Where are we? I'll tell you, that 85-year-old almost didn't make it back. We are such close friends that I turn to him and I giggle as I began to panic and said, do you really not know where we are? He said, no, but the expression on your face was priceless. We got to the island and I looked around for furniture and a fridge and a stove to make bread, and there was nothing. And we began to set up equipment, and you move into a different pattern of life immediately. Because it's about survival, it's about eating, it's about sleeping, it's about restoring the body and the mind in the context of the beautiful nature around you. Several hours later, I turned to him and I said, where's the shower? And he pointed to the lake and he said, don't take soap. How do I get clean? You gotta go underneath the water. We were out of the canoe and we were looking for a hike site, and I'm sure he did this on purpose. A few minutes into the experience, knowing how I feel about structure, order, and discipline, he said, oops. I wonder where we are. Only this time, he was serious. Life. Life takes us in unknown directions. Life is unpredictable. Life does not always have structural order and discipline. Life is about new adventures that stretch us. And life isn't just about the temporal. It is about willingness to be stretched by those around us that love us and those that are in the heavens who believe in us and our potential. Learn more, do more, experience more, to be stretched by this journey called life and faith. Life and faith, it's more about the meeting of immediate needs and wants. It's often about learning and growing, learning more about ourselves and our faith with God, and being willing to be stretched by His Holy Spirit. Our great adventure, by the way, ended Thursday morning in the middle of a rainstorm. Thank heavens for the $4 poncho that my lovely spouse was so extravagant in spending that only covers half the body. We're home. I learned a lot.